Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning and welcome to Clay County Corner. We're broadcasting live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. This is Kevin Donaldson, guest hosting for your regular host, Thomas Watson, who is on vacation this week. Hope he and Miss Faye are having a good time on their trip. We have another wonderful show lined up for you. Our first guest will be County Mayor Dale Reagan, and we will have another guest coming in at the bottom of the hour, around 9:30. Do want to let everybody know, just a reminder, I'm sure it's not slipped up on you, especially if you have a day off coming. This is the July 4th weekend. The holiday itself will be on Monday. No doubt there will be a lot of folks out and about traveling around this weekend. One thing that we always associate with July 4th are fireworks, and looking at media reports on TV, there are some areas that are having some concerns about the extremely dry conditions that we have and about what firing fireworks might cause to happen there. Luckily, we do have some small amounts of rain forecast for the next few days, so that might alleviate that situation as well. We have a situation in Salina in terms of weather, and it's not necessarily that way in surrounding areas, even within the county. It is extremely dry here. We have received about 0.04 of an inch of rain in 3 weeks. And if we hadn't had that big gully washer back about just before that, had nearly 2.5 inches, we would be extremely dry. But I know there had been rain both to the east of us, to the north of us, to the west, and some to the south as well. We're just kind of in a rain dome here. Can't get any through that. But hopefully the forecasters will hit that right. We'll get some rain in the next few days and alleviate these dry situations and allow the holiday, July 4th, to go on as scheduled. Of course, I know there are some farmers around and gardeners who are looking for some of that wonderful rain to fall from the sky as well. In terms of other things, gas prices are coming down some. Good to see that. I believe at least here in Salina, they are down 30 cents a gallon from their highest point. I believe I've got that right. You know, before we would go and think, well, let me fill up now before it goes up again. Now we're saying, well, maybe I'll wait to fill up when the price goes down. So we're not sure exactly how to proceed with that. But if we reach a point that we have to have some gas in the tank either way. Mayor Dale Reagan is with us here. But before we pick his brain on what's going on in Clay County government, we will take a short break. And please stay with us and remain here for more Clay County Corner.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back to Clay County Corner. Kevin Donaldson in today for your regular host, Thomas Watson, here on WVFB-FM 101.5 on your FM dial. We are always thankful for all of you folks who tune in each Thursday morning at 9 a.m. for Clay County Corner. Not only our Clay counties, but people in surrounding counties. For sure, some in Monroe County, we know beyond any shadow of a doubt. We're glad to have you all with us, and we are very thankful for the advertisers who make this program possible each week. Now we'll hear from Mayor Dale Reagan. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning. Thank you so much for the opportunity, as always, Kevin, to come up and be with you and to share some of the happenings of our county government to our citizens out there.
Well, we enjoy having you. I know Thomas has you, I guess, not quite once a month, but pretty close to that, so we can stay on top of what's going on in county government. And speaking of that, let's dive right in. There was a meeting of the commission this past month.
There was, and I know it's kind of this time of the year when the budget in the works, and we had to change some dates of the meetings and stuff. So the county commission met this past Monday night on the 27th, and we had about 11 resolutions that we took in consideration, as long as the motions, and we had five notaries that was voted on and accepted and approved.
So, Mayor, let me jump in just a minute. Was this the regular June meeting? Or,
yes.
Okay. So normally it would have been,
yes,
much earlier, first Monday in the month. The budget kind of throws everything out of schedule for a little while.
It does. And that being said, it's trying to tie everything up and clean it. And Donna, she says, cleaning everything up, you know, at the end of the fiscal year to get everything in place. And our normal budget meeting, or our normal commission meeting, would have been the first Monday night of June, which that was our first budget meeting that we met. And the commissioners got presented some of the department budgets and went over those. And so following the Monday night commission meeting, we had another short budget meeting, which had one department that they hadn't considered yet, and still haven't considered it yet, the department, the UT Extension office, and they'll probably have to take that back up in July the 11th, I think, because the 4th of July is hitting on the first Monday night, so it's pushed it out to the 11th and everything.
And I apologize for knocking you off stride.
No, you're fine.
Last week, I just wanted to, normally this would have been planning meeting.
Yeah, last Monday night would have been planning meeting. So there wasn't a planning meeting for the month of June. And so we had, like I said, you know, we had five notaries that were accepted. and the motions always to approve the county commission minutes was accepted, and also the motion to approve the planning for May, which we had in the last of May, and they have to approve that for the planning for June. And so the resolutions that we had, the majority of them was budget amendments, just moving money around from one category to the other to clean everything up. Very few of them, if any, had to come out of fund balance. They just moved money around and everything. School system had some, first the budget amendment was the general purpose school fund, where that they was doing the same thing, you know, cleaning some stuff up and moving some funding around to where that maybe one category was a little bit over a budget, and they had money that they could move up and make that balance out and everything. So,
and Mayor, during the last part of the fiscal year, which ends in June 30, budget amendments are just a common thing, aren't they? That winds up being a lot of the business is conducted for a couple of months.
It does, and one of the reasons why that, you know, that, of course, the Comptroller's Office always encourages you to try to have your budget set and approved by July 1. And it's hard to do. Well, it's not hard to do, but I mean it is better in my view of it, finishing it up and getting a more of an accurate figure whenever the commissioners votes on the next year's budget that they have. So that's why that, you know, that we usually vote on the budget around the last of July, first of August. Now, by statute, we have to have a budget. We have to have a balanced budget in place and approved by the Comptroller's Office or by the County Commission by August 31st. Used to.
That's changed.
It's changed.
It'd be October.
Well, it didn't have. I mean, they would. When I first come into office, there has been times that, I guess the first year that I was, when I was elected, it was well on up into October, the last of October, first of November, before a budget get passed. And that, it wasn't just us, not Clay County, but a lot of counties, you know, were doing that. And some of them would even, I can't remember the county was, but I know it came up in some of the meetings at the state and everything, that they'd run it way up into December. Well, that's nearly halfway through your next year's budget.
Year,
so,
yeah.
There was a law, passed through, the legislators that, without getting a approval by the Comptroller's Office, that you would have to have your budget in place by August 31st and everything. So that's what we're working on right now, and we've been blessed that we've been able to get in place and have balanced budgets, and so that's been a good thing. And the resolution, like I said, most of them were doing that to move some funding around to correct some of the line items that came up a little bit short and everything. I had a resolution to approve an appointment to the Clay County Public Library, and that was just some of the library members on that library board, whenever their time runs out, they can get reappointed to that, and that's what we did. We had a couple of them that their time was running out, so the county commission is the one that approves and appoints those members to the library upon recommendation from the existing library board. And those two were Kim Maxfield and Matt Craighead was the two new ones that they, because their time was running out, so that will put them back. Their term will be ending June 2025 now, so that's
a busy board too, isn't
it? It is now, for sure. I mean, it's always, yeah. And but they do a lot of good things out there, and they've really been working hard. You know, with they've got a group that, you know, their library fund that they've been working on, and hopefully, you know, our ARP funding that we've got coming down, that's still yet to be seen as far as how that we're going to be able to manage that and everything, but. To do some work out there at the library. We're upgrading the bathrooms and stuff. We had planned on hopefully even adding onto it and everything, but that's, like I said, that's yet to be seen, and hopefully that can be something that we can work out working with the state and the federal government on this ARP money that we can use and everything. So that was one of the resolutions also that with the highway department. Jason had some funding that came in And he had to put that over into another line item and everything from because the highway department, and it, a lot of people may not understand this, but the highway department does not operate off of property tax.
Right.
He operates solely off of a gas tax and what he gets, you know, state aid from the state. And so he does a real good job, you know, managing, you know, the funding that he gets to come in to do the things that he can do. And I would like to also commend him and thank him for just like our fire that we just got, you know, through a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was, but up to the point of getting that ready for, you know, the carnival folks to come in and all that. He donates a lot of gravel over there to make that possible, and that comes out of his budget. And so we want to thank him, the highway department, for doing that and his staff for helping us and everything to get that taken care of. But they do a good job, and I just wanted to let everybody know that he doesn't get any money from the property tax and everything. He operates solely off of the gas tax and everything.
Right.
So, and another one that we, like I said, you know, we had some budget member from the solid waste department that we had to move around some funding there, and courthouse and jail maintenance fund, we had a budget on that. But a lot of that is for that Thomas has been doing a good job, you know, getting contributions and donations and stuff about his window project. And when he gets, if you wanted to donate $100 to it or $2,500 or whatever it may be, he has to get that money, he has to bring it down to the office, and then we receipt that and it goes to the trustee's office and or to the bank, and then they put it over into the jailhouse and courthouse and jail maintenance fund and everything, and that's where that operates off of and everything. So he's got a budget, you know, that he can operate off, and that we still, you know, can do things to the, as he refers to it, the grand old lady up here, our courthouse and everything. So, and also we into a contract with the Upper Cumberland Development District to provide professional services for administration over our ARP money. And so the commissioners approved that contract with them because we've got a lot of funding out there through the ARP. The local state federal part of the ARP, the county got $1.4 million, which is we got half of that drawn down. And the other half will be coming down this year. That money is setting over into an account that is separate from anything else. Well, we've not spent the first nickel of that yet. And so we got to have someone to help us administer that and everything. And also our TDEC money. It's the same pots of money and everything, but just in different agencies.
Right.
And that is through infrastructure for water, sewer, broadband, whatever it may be, you know, that qualifies as infrastructure. So they're going to be helping us do that, and because it's working with utility districts, I know that we got three utility districts that serves here in Clay County. We got Northwest Clay that serves the western end of the county, and then, of course, the city of Salina serves the biggest portion of, you know, the county as far as toward the Overton County line and back toward the Kentucky line and all that,
right.
And Jackson County as well. And then we got the North Overton Utility District that serves our east end of our county and everything. So we got three utility districts that we'd be working with, you know, to do what they call a scorecard that they got to fill out, you know, for their whatever projects that they feel like it's very necessary. And so to me, you know, and I have expressed this to each one of the utility districts that we have folks out there that don't have bottled water. To me, that should be at the top of the list and everything. So they're getting all that together for us, and the development district will be working with us and helping us navigate through all this with the state and federal government. And I certainly appreciate the county commission allowing us to be able to go into contract with them to oversee that. It's basically the same thing that we do when we apply for CDBGs and things such as that. You know, they help us administer that. And, of course, there's a fee on that. And so this was like a 3%, I believe, is what it was on that. Not bad at all.
No.
And that too, it's not like you said, well, you're getting $3 million, so that's what you're going to have to pay them. No, they get paid the percentage of whatever money that is spent.
Right.
on projects and stuff. So it may be the point you may not spend all that money. I hope we can. I hope that we can put every nickel into something that will be helpful to others and everything. So I'm thankful that they allowed us to do that. And also we approved a resolution for, and this goes back to the highway department. Sourcewell is a group that, you know, that you, it's kind of like the state bid contractors and stuff, where you can go through them and not have to go through a lot of the other advertisements and stuff like that and everything. So Jason is he gets a lot of his equipment and supplies and stuff like that through that group. We used that group too, Kevin, back whenever Dr. Young was we applied for the grant that we got for the playground equipment and stuff up there at the Donaldson Park. And so that was the group, you know, that we used that were helping us to get the best bang for our buck and everything. So, but we had to get that put through a resolution. So now the county has a resolution in there that not only the highway department, but any of the county government offices can use that group and everything to use that. So we got that taken care of and everything. So that pretty much, you know, is a basic over the what we did Monday night as far as the agenda is concerned and everything on that.
Good information. We'll come back and talk just a little bit more about the budget process.
Okay.
Right after these messages. Please stay with us for more Clay County Corner.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back to Clay County Corner. Kevin Donaldson in as a guest host this morning. Have Clay County Mayor Dale Reagan with us, and he has told us about the most recent county commission meeting and talked just a little bit about the budget. Mayor, we're, I guess, nearing the end of our segment. What is the budget process from this point on?
Okay.
When will they be voting on what?
Okay, well, our proposed date, and that's what we're looking at and everything. I mean, the county commission approved this schedule here back in May, I guess is whenever Donna presented it to them, the 1st of May. And so, as we mentioned a moment ago, our next meeting is scheduled for July the 11th, which will be the county commission meeting. We won't have a planning this month because Monday night was the planning proposed, but we had the commission meeting. And July the 4th falls on Monday, so that pushes it out to the next Monday. So, and that final, if all goes well, we're hoping that by August the 1st or August the 8th that we'll be voting on the budget. Depending on, you know, we have to put it in the paper. It has to run for 10 days prior to them taking action on it and everything. And then that comes back, and the tax levy has to be set, too. So, I mean, this was a reappraisal year. So, you know, our certified tax rate, the state will send that, which they have sent it out and everything. And then the county commission will have to look at that, and we'll have to see. You know, I'm satisfied. You know, our base rate right now is $3.10. But I'm pretty confident that rate's going to come down as far as the base rate, you know.
Offset the reappraisal.
Yeah, and but you have to look at that too to make sure when the state sends you a certified rate, they send you that rate that compares to project to bring in the same amount of funding that it did last year, and so that's it's really got no growth there that's built into it and everything. So you have to, the commission has to look at that, you know, and I know CTAS works with us on that to help us and everything to make sure that next rate that you set and everything will be somewhat comparing to the years past, you know, as far as your growth goes and everything. So I feel like I can say with certainty that 310 is going to go away.
Right.
Now, where it's going to wind
up. Right?
Yeah, yes, absolutely, downward. But where it's going to wind up at, I'm not for sure yet, exactly. And that's what we'll be looking at and everything. And we'll have to do that. That'll have to be run in the paper that, you know, we'll have a public hearing on that. And usually that's like 30 minutes before the county commission meeting whenever they go to vote on the budget and everything. So that way that the tax levy has to be set first. And then the appropriations and everything can be voted on that. So hopefully, good Lord's will and everything goes well that by either August the 1st of August or August the 8th is what we're shooting for right now to vote on our, it'd be our 2022-2023 budget year. And everything.
Okay.
Budget.
Now, I know city and county are different. You have to pass the budget how many times?
One time.
Just a single time.
Yeah.
Folks with the city, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure
they
have passed theirs twice.
Yeah, it has to be on a two-read.
But
yeah.
Either way, it gets interesting in terms of scheduling meetings and getting your notices in the paper.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, a lot of protocol you have to follow. That you can't just say, well, we'll meet again tomorrow night and pass the budget.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. And right now, down at the office is a real, it's a busy time in there because, you know, trying to get, you know, and I know Donna has called a lot of department heads, and I know one of the ones that's going to be your next guest, she's talked to him somewhat, said, hey, if you got any bills out there, get them in here because I'm closing this thing out and everything.
Right.
And so that's pretty much where we're at. And, I appreciate all the departments for working real good with us on this. I know it's a process that we go through, and sometimes it gets a little bit hectic and everything, but Lord be our helper, we'll get through it again this year. And plan on having a balanced budget, and we'll just keep going forward.
Mayor, thanks for being with us as always.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I want to wish everybody a happy 4th of July, and have a good time and be safe out there because, and like we was talking a moment ago, I pray for a little rain. I don't want it to rain on your, as old saying is, on your parade or anything like that, but things are dry out there right now, and we certainly don't want somebody to lose anything due to a fire or something like that.
Absolutely. If you're shooting fireworks, folks, please be careful.
Absolutely.
And there will be a lot of folks on the road.
Yeah.
Not as much flight. I heard on the radio this morning a little bit of trivia. July 4th doesn't rank with other holidays in terms of flight travel, but the roads will be hot.
Yeah.
Mayor, thank you.
Thank you
for being with us.
God bless. Thank you.
Folks, before we go to break, and it's time for us to do that and bring on our next guest, we want to mention our birthdays and anniversaries. We have four names in the pot this week, two for anniversaries, two for birthdays. We have celebrating anniversaries, Bonda and Johnny Gully on the 29th, Jackie and Susan Bray on the 30th, and celebrating birthdays, we have Colin Bryant on the 28th, and we have Briar Fisher also. Well, actually, I believe Briar has already celebrated his birthday. That is the great-grandson of Tommy and Coretta Denton. So we will have four names, as it were, in pot, and we'll ask our next guest toward the end of the show to help us with that sophisticated selection process. But again, please always call in on our line here to nominate people for the birthdays and anniversaries. And we will remind you yet again, of course, it's area 931-243-5574. Call as often as you'd like to with different folks' names, and keep the line busy for us. We will be back with our next guest right after these messages.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hard cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked. That's Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why making Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back to Clay County Corner. This is Kevin Donaldson again in for Thomas Watson, who is on a short vacation this week. Always good to be with everyone here. Always enjoy hosting this, mostly because of the guests we have. Thomas does most of that lining up and does a fantastic job. But folks, if you want to find out what's going on with some issues in the county in depth, listen to us here on Clay County Corner. We can dig a little deeper than some of the other news sources, and we'll hope you'll be with us. If you both read the newspaper, stay on social media, and listen to us here, you'll get the whole story or pretty near it. But we appreciate all of you listening and being a part of Clay County Corner each week. Our second guest has been with Clay County Corner a couple of times, maybe three, he thinks. We're not sure. But our second guest today is Matt Tuck. Matt is the head of the Clay County Health Department, and also, Matt, a couple of other county health departments, right?
Yes, sir. Macon and Jackson as well.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from, and how did you wind up being director of the health department?
Well, I'm from Macon County, born and raised. I landed at the health department through sheer luck, I believe, but I actually started in athletics at Tennessee Tech. I was an assistant strength conditioning coach.
Okay.
And
attached to one team or all the
programs? No, we had all teams. I did every team from football, basketball, volleyball, softball, pretty much every team at some point. But
so when were you at Tech? What were the years, basically?
I was at Tech from 2005 until 2010.
Okay.
I took a graduate assistant position, and then that turned into an assistant coach position. But when Watson Brown left, they brought in the new head coach, and, you know, he had his own staff to come in. So we were looking for jobs. And my wife, we were expecting our first child, so I didn't want to go all across the country to find a new job.
Right.
Ended up working at Alexander Funeral Home and becoming the manager there in Macon County. And through going to the local health department for death certificates and things like that, I got to know the staff there and had a good rapport with them, and this position came open, and they recommended me for the job, and never in a million years thought I would get it, but I did, and I thank God every day that I have it, because it's the best job I've ever had, and I love all the people that I get to serve and work with.
Well, we're glad to have you. But back to the Watson Brown tie-in, that opens up a can of worms for all of us in Clay County, and me in particular. I know you heard a million times that he's originally from Clay County.
Right.
Born and raised about two streets over from here, actually, but left here at a pretty young age.
Yeah.
We didn't get any of that high school talent of he and his brother as they passed through here,
right,
or whatever. But he actually has several relatives and still owns some land, last I knew, in Clay County.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that.
My wife is a cousin of Watson.
So. Okay.
Enjoyed Watson's time at Tennessee Tech, being a Tech grad myself, and he brought back the only OBC championship. And like, I think I was a freshman at Tech the last time. And I won't say what kind of a gap that was, but we could measure decades between OBC championships.
That was a good run.
And you were in the midst of all that.
Yes, I was. Yep.
Absolutely. Well, we're glad to have you in Clay County. What did you major in at Tech that qualified you to be a health department head?
I had a degree in health and wellness with a concentration on kinesiology, which is a fancy term for the study of the body and its muscles mainly, and how to strength conditioning is a portion of that. With what I majored in, you could go into PT school, you could go into athletic training,
right.
You know, and I even did a little bit of that at Macon County for the football team there, in the interim before they got a new athletic trainer. But, you know, it serves a whole range of that field does. But my concentration was in health and wellness.
Interesting. Sports is a big part of any small town or any big town as far as that goes.
It's amazing what doors sports will open.
It is, and well, I won't go down that road. We'll save that comment for another time. A young man from here now who's liable to go down that path. Matt, before we get into what the scope of what health departments do, let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And let our advertisers tell us what it is they do and how they can help us. But stay with us for more Clay County Corner.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
County Corner. We're here this morning with Matt Tuck, who is the head not only of the Clay County Health Department, but a couple of other health departments in the region as well. Matt, this is as broad a question as we could possibly ask, but let's take it and see where we go with it. What exactly do health departments do?
They do everything, pretty much. We do everything from, obviously, everybody knows the health department through the past years for physicals and vaccines, but we also have, we're lucky in this region because we have full-time nurse practitioners and traveling medical doctors,
right.
that go from county to county. We actually just lost our nurse practitioner, but we're hoping to get somebody else to fill that spot. But, you know, we do everything from primary care, general care, death certificates, birth certificates. It's a broad range of, we're a medical home. We can be your primary care physician, just like a normal doctor's office.
Right.
We have referral programs where we can refer somebody to go for imaging, you know, x-rays, CTs, things of that nature, preventative measures, you know, family planning, just really anything that a regular medical doctor home would have.
Well, you and I and several other folks were in a meeting with Senator Blackburn, who was in town yesterday, and either before the meeting or after, or maybe during the meeting as well, probably it was pointed out that after the closure of the hospital here, that you guys and our ambulance service, you've always been front line, but you are front line now.
Yes, sir.
Without a hospital in the county.
Yes, sir.
Was there a noticeable change in the amount of people that you served after the hospital closed?
We did get we had a lot more people come in that, you know, that basically required an emergency room. And, you know, we can't do those type services.
Right.
So we would take care of them as best we could until an ambulance could arrive, and they would have to be transported. But we did see a much larger rise of patients coming in with problems that needed to be seen by actual hospital.
So that's the protocol that you have to follow in a situation like. Obviously, you can't just turn somebody back. Well, go drive to the emergency. But I guess an ambulance has to be called pretty much.
Yes, sir.
To follow that protocol.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, health departments across the state. And of course, there are around 90 of you guys that are overseen by the state, and then the five bigger counties maybe do their own thing. I forgot how that was, but COVID pointed that out to us.
They're considered metros, like Nashville, Murfreesboro, Memphis, Knoxville. They're under the state, but they're actually they're a little bit different than a local county health department.
Right.
And our region is actually extremely lucky because we qualify for an FQHC grant. It's a federal grant, and that pays for our nurse practitioners and our MDs' salaries, our dentists. We actually have a few dentists in the region as well. So our region is actually extremely lucky compared to the rest of the health departments in the state.
Well, good news for the residents there.
Right.
Beyond any shadow of a doubt. We'll get circle back around to COVID in a minute, but before we do that, what about staff members? How many folks roughly work at the health department, and what positions do they hold there? And do you guys need workers? Everybody in the world needs workers right now.
We need a nurse practitioner right now. Other than that, we're good on staff members, but every health department's different. So here we have Brenda, who is our nursing assistant, Tim Tiernan, who is our nursing supervisor. He's an RN.
Right.
Heather Kirk, she's our LPN. Betty Watson and Tara, who are public health office assistants and public health office supervisors. Those are our full-time staff that we have.
Okay.
We also have people that travel to our county every so often for help with WIC and help with open enrollment for insurance and things like that. And we have what's called a health educator. Basically, their position is just to get involved in the community and see what they can do to help community access and education for different, you know, health prevention ideas, smoking, tobacco cessation, things like that. They travel here every so often, probably about once or twice a month.
Right. You know, it seems like in hearing all the things that you can do, that the health department falls under that other category of people just don't realize how many things actually are offered. You know, working in chamber, working in economic development, I saw it's incredible the amount of help and assistance that is out there. Now, navigating the maze to access that is another thing, but you guys can do just, obviously you can't operate on people. Do you guys
right.
do x-rays there? Or?
We don't do x-rays at the health department, but we do have a referral that we can send somebody for imaging and they go to Cookfield.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Access to so many, that basically anything that you guys are not able to do there, you have an avenue through which you can guide people to that service pretty much.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Absolutely. Matt, good stuff. We're going to take another short break, and we'll come back and talk a little bit about how COVID affected what you guys do.
Okay.
Stay with us. Come back for more Clay County Corner.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Welcome back to our final segment here on this Thursday's edition of Clay County Corner. We are talking to Matt Tuck, who is the head of the Clay County Health Department, along with a couple of other departments, and he has been telling us what health departments do, a little bit about himself, and we have saved, I guess, the maybe the most newsworthy in terms of what we have been glued to for 2 years for the last, and that's COVID. Matt, COVID changed the world, and I cannot begin to imagine how it changed life at a health department.
Well, luckily, I was only at the job for about 3 months when COVID happened.
Oh boy!
So I got
that's a nice break in.
They say I got baptized by fire, so
yeah,
that was. I'll agree with that, but yeah, it changed everything about the health department. We went from, you know, seeing patients in person to not being able to see them in person, and we did curbside pickup for their medications. They would call in, and you know, anything that we could do to prevent, face-to-face contact. Well, that's really hard to do when your whole world is face-to-face contact with your patients.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, the obvious thing is it brought about the need for telehealth. So just recently, I mean, we lost our nurse practitioner. We've been able to see patients with telehealth. We bring them into the office. We have a it's called a MedPod cart, and they set up a camera, and you're able to listen to with a stethoscope. The doctor is able to hear through this MedPod cart their heart, their lungs, things of that nature, and anything that doesn't require physical contact, we can do through that MedPod cart, and we're able to take care of our patients that way.
Right.
You know, when we don't have a traveling doctor or nurse practitioner here, that's the biggest thing that has changed through all this.
But, you know, as tragic as COVID has been for so many people and so many families, it has pointed out other ways for us to do things that are brought it about. They would have happened eventually, like telehealth.
Right.
I mean, 10 years ago, those of you who were in the profession had heard about it, but most of us didn't know anything about that, and it's going to become a regular part of healthcare now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And the other thing is COVID brought about funding through all of the shortcomings that they saw that health, not just health departments, but all medical facilities had through, the drive-through testing, the drive-through vaccinations, things like that. Well, some of these health departments weren't equipped to handle 100 cars in line trying to get a vaccine or trying to get a test. So they've poured a lot of money into these health departments to make them better. And then also we're able to use that money, just like we're getting new HVAC system at the health department. We're getting a new roof. We're
right.
Getting new windows. We're getting it's an old building, but we're getting everything structurally sound in it. You know, through this funds that we're getting through COVID.
I'm guessing that building is in excess of 50 years old. I think I can remember maybe sometime in the early 70s.
I think the land was purchased in 69 and the building was built in 70 or 71.
We had the library, the health department, and the community center, which is now the government complex, all come along kind of in the same time frame, not the same year or anything.
Right.
And common ground among those facilities, you know, but it's easy for us to forget how long they have been here.
Oh, yes, sir. Sure.
Matt, we've got about 4 or 5 more minutes. What jumps out at you in terms of what the changes that happened during COVID are just, what's your biggest memory of? And, of course, it's still going on. We need to emphasize that, too. It's not over, but it's
right.
Become hopefully endemic instead of pandemic. And I never heard of endemic in my life until COVID hit. But what jumps out at you is your biggest memory of COVID these past 2-plus years?
I guess the biggest thing that's happened is the partnerships that we've been able to have with all of the different entities around the health department. Huge thanks to Mayor Dale Reagan for his assistance. He called me every week and asked me if I needed anything. You know, there was times when we had a big traffic flow and Sheriff Brandon Boone, you know, he was there to assist us with traffic flow, things like that.
You don't have a place for cars to wind around.
No,
where you guys
no, we
are
don't.
Located.
And you know, like, there were so many people that reached out to us, and if we needed anything, they were like, hey, what can we do to help, you know? And just to see the communities come together, because we had a ton of people that just wanted the vaccine when it came out, that wanted it very desperately, and it may not have been their turn to get it. And then we had other people that, you know, you couldn't force it on them if you wanted to.
Right.
You know, but this community actually was one of the higher rates of vaccinated people based on population out of our region, you know. And I think it showed that the community did care about each other and they wanted to protect themselves and their families.
Matt, are there any, I'm a stats person, I can't help myself, are there any numbers that jump out at you about COVID here in terms of Clay County or?
Well, right now, there's only one positive case, okay, as of right now. You go back to March, March 1st, there was 38 positive cases on one day. You know, you
right.
go back to last year at this time, there were similar numbers as today, so it follows a curve, okay? What is different right now is that the percentage of hospitalizations is drastically lower with, you know, the strain that's here now. Now, some people will say it's just a lesser strain, but most people will tell you that it's because of the vaccinations that has happened. People are not experiencing the difficulties they had with COVID through the first, like they did in the first go round. You know, there were so many people hospitalized and people who passed away from COVID. These vaccinations have helped keep people out of the hospital, to keep people off of the ventilator.
Right. Just an incredible past 2 years. I'll show my ignorance in the truest sense of the word on the subject back early on, but we were all pretty ignorant back early on. But I remember thinking, you know, the shutdown talk started, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe we shut everything down and we can get rid of it real quickly, you know, but that obviously wasn't the case. Matt, thank you so much for being here today. It's time for us to wrap the show up, but we have unfinished business. We have a birthday and anniversary giveaway to conduct. We have Vonda and Johnny Gully, Jackie and Susan Bray on anniversaries, and Colin Bryant and Briar Fisher on birthdays. And Matt, I'm going to ask you to give me a number between 1 and 4.
I'm going to pick number 4.
Okay. Briar Fisher is our birthday winner. You need to go to the Chamber of Commerce or have someone do that on your behalf and pick up your prize. And folks, thank you again, Matt. Appreciate you being here. Our thanks to Mayor Dale Reagan as well. And our thanks to all of you for listening today. And we hope you'll join us back here next Thursday at 9 a.m. for more Clay County Corner.